So how many of you here have had someone around for a meal? Okay, so quite a few are, so you too. Okay, good. So you're quite familiar with this. But the thing that's going to be slightly different today is that I want to talk about hospitality, not just how to be a good host, but also how to be a good guest. And I think that affects perhaps the bulk of you here more than hosting, although hosting is incredibly important. Right, so you can see here by this Alexander Strauch, I'm just going to elaborate on it a bit further. Hospitality is love in action. It's the flesh and the muscle on the bones of love. It's love in action. It's a vehicle through which a number of spiritual gifts are practically displayed, such as mercy, serving, giving, evangelizing, etc. So the early Christians viewed themselves as part of a worldwide brotherhood, and they knew that they were a persecuted minority. So these little pockets of Christians survived. Why? Because they gave each other hospitality, and they were forever welcoming each other and one another into their homes, such as they were. And they were surrounded by pagans, but they knew that they could bless one another through hospitality. So it was very important. And it became a very significant practical expression of this worldwide family of brothers and sisters. And in many ways the birthmark of Christianity and the hallmark of Christianity, because nobody else is practicing that. So it goes way back. And in many, many ways we're still a minority in a hostile world. Obviously nothing like it was, but we really are. And I think friendships and encouragement can happen in a home and on a grand scale. Friendship and the sacrifice of time, and it is a sacrifice of time if you're hosting, they're even more important in today's rushed society. You know, there's few other ways in which you can just really minister to somebody else, somebody that just needs a listening ear. It's the way to do that is in your home. Okay, so scriptural commands. I believe I handed out, who's got, what did I give out? Romans 16:6. Who's got that? Okay. They really don't have to be in any particular order.
Please each other in Christian love. All the churches of Christ seem to be a Christian.
Yeah. So greeting one another is obviously more than saying, hey, how's it? You know, greeting one another in Christian love is having people in your home. Right, who's got another one? It doesn't have to be in any particular order. Who else has one? Okay.
The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in your house.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, so do it cheerfully. Yes, and I'll get onto that a little bit later. Does anybody else have one? Yes, okay.
They worship together at the temple each day, and they come to the Lord's supper and share the meal with great joy and
delight. That's quite a good one. So when you think of hospitality, you generally think of how to be a good host. And as I alluded to earlier, I want to talk today also about being a good guest. So there's lots of focus in Scripture on being hospitable, on ministering to fellow believers, strengthening one another, strengthening the church, and caring for one another. So really, in reality, hospitality is not an option. You know, I often hear people say, oh, well, she's got the gift of hospitality. Okay, so maybe she does it better. Maybe she can cook better. Maybe she's got a bigger dining room table. But hospitality is not an option, no matter what your circumstances are. And just in case you chaps sitting here think that this doesn't apply to you, and you think you can just have a good snooze now, this applies to you as well. And I'll get to that just now. Not just for the women, for the men as well. Right. So how to be a good host? Let's start with that one. First of all, have a plan. What is it that Michael always says? Exactly. So having a good plan is important. You've got to have a good strategy. You've got to have maybe even a theme, if you like. You can make a list in your Christian fellowship, in your mission, or your neighborhood, and ask the Lord who you should specifically be reaching out to. And remember, the old older folks that don't have relatives in town, they're often in need of some good hospitality. Okay, so collect recipes, ideas, good cooking or brine is great. So if you're just the brine master out there, then that's wonderful. But it's not essential. It's not essential. You don't have to be a good, accomplished cook. It's not an excuse to say, oh, well, you know, I can't really host because I can't cook. It's not necessary. But if you prepare for your guests, and if your home or your room in your wares or your picnic blankets in the park looks like you were ready for a guest, the person that you're entertaining is going to feel welcome. And they're going to feel like, wow, they did that just for me. And that alone speaks volume, never mind what food is just about to follow. Okay? But having said that, you should always try and have certain foods in your home. If you get caught off guard and people have arrived earlier, stick an onion in your oven and it will smell amazing. And the people will say, wow, something really amazing cooking me while you're actually not quite ready yet. But it sets the ambiance, it sets the vibe. So, form a hospitality committee. That might also be something useful you can do if you're involved in a larger church. So that way, if you're in a church or in a larger group, that way it's not all just on your shoulders. Maybe there's other people who would like to help, and they can form different aspects of this committee. But that way you're not doing this whole thing on your own. Okay, also you can volunteer. Again, if you're in a church, volunteer to host any of the visiting missionaries. I know in my family growing up, I was tremendously blessed by the different people that came through our home. I had the privilege of growing up with visitors like Richard Wurmbrand, George Berger, Brother Andrew, all the different people that had these incredible testimonies and stories. And I mean, I was little, and I'm certain I didn't appreciate it at the time. But how sad it would be for me now if my parents had never entertained, if my parents had never offered hospitality, how much I would have missed out on. So when they're here around your table or sitting on your picnic blanket, ask about their family and their needs and their work and anything that they might need prayer for. Don't just talk about yourself. Think about questions that you think will concern them the most, and or maybe it's just a key question that will help them to open up. Never allow your guests to be rushed. Don't discuss how expensive food is. Not a good idea. And how busy you are, you know, because then they're going to really feel like they're inconveniencing you. Make sure that your guests feel welcome, and don't make them feel like they've been an inconvenience or a burden. And I mean, Peter and I have been guests in people's homes where you just, wow, you kind of wish you hadn't come because you really were just such a burden. This is my dad and Hunter, and it's a very typical scene sitting outside on the stoop, and these times around the table can go on for hours. So never rush. And involve your kids. So let's say you're going to have a missionary family from Sudan coming into your city or to your church, and you volunteered now to be their host. Involve your kids. So prepare your kids. Find Sudan on the map, and maybe you can Google Earth it or do whatever it is that one does these days, get out an atlas, that sort of thing. And prepare your children so that the guests visiting aren't just strangers, but that the children can already connect. Okay, this is where they live. And help them to ask meaningful questions of their guests. What kind of foods do you eat? Or, you know, that sort of thing. Because your children's lives will be tremendously enriched. And again, like I said earlier with the chaps in particular, it doesn't matter where you live. It can be a res hall, it can be your own apartment, it can be an apartment you share with mates. You could still be living at home. Obviously, you need to check with the people you live with. But where you live should not be... Picnics are great. Sometimes when Peter and I were at a church where visitors were invited, we could see they had no place to go. So we just quickly added some more rolls and we went to Kirstenbosch and we invited them with. And I know that's how we got to know the young family. They were speakers at our church, and I could see immediately there was no plans for them for lunch. And so we had them around, and look at the friendship and the relationship that has ensued since. I mean, perhaps our path would have crossed anyway, but that is how it happened in our case, and what a pity it would be if we hadn't done that. So don't let your circumstances limit the ability to give hospitality. When Andrea and Hunter got married, they lived in a tiny, probably not even as big as this area, the whole flat. Yeah, it was very small. So then they went to a two-bedroom place, and they no sooner had the boxes unpacked, they had 7 overnight guests.
They weren't unpacked.
They weren't unpacked, okay. But she made a plan. She had to make porridge in 2 batches, and she had to, you know,
have
no beds. They just came with their sleeping bags.
And the guest room was completely empty, and I had to shovel the boxes and
cupboards. So it can be done. Right. Okay, so now let's talk about how to be a good guest, which possibly will apply to those of you that are traveling or in the field, or maybe you've never even thought about how to be a good guest, whether you're a missionary or not. So you will be on the receiving end of hospitality more than on the giving end of it. But there is an art to being a guest. There's an art to being a thoughtful guest that the people will want to invite back. And it's a vital part of your work because it enables you to keep up your communication with your supporters. Or if you're in the field, it allows you to minister to your hosts. And very often, hosts also need encouragement. You know, maybe they just need a word from Scripture or a blessing. As I say, I grew up in Western Europe, on the border of Eastern Europe, because that's where my parents worked into Eastern Europe. So we as a family were often guests in people's homes in Romania, in Yugoslavia and Hungary and Czechoslovakia and places like that. And we knew, I mean, I didn't appreciate it as a child, but we were told by our parents that these people are hosting us at great expense and sacrifice to them. And the groceries that they might have had, they would have done weeks of bartering. They would have maybe bought the meat because they had some coffee to barter with, or maybe they had some soap and so they bartered for chicken, or maybe they had some cement and they bartered for eggs, and that's the way it worked in those days. So it was a mission. It wasn't like they could just go down to the corner shop and buy what they needed and host us. We knew that it was a sacrifice for them to have us, but they gladly had us. And the contrast to that was when the Iron Curtain came down and suddenly tourist missionaries came in, they would then flood those people's homes, and frankly they were a burden. Because, unfortunately, the Americans often do things really big, and instead of one person coming, there's 10 of them coming, and that's a tremendous burden on those giving hospitality, because they've got to find a place for them to stay, they've got to find a place for them to bath, they've got to find food, they've got to organize transportation. So it's my opinion that sometimes these American teams in particular, and also the Western European teams, if they could have just sent one or two people and rather used that money to bless the local people, that might have been better. So we were taught to be good guests and good hosts in our home, both coming and both going. So when you're coming as a guest, try bringing a gift. It can be something as simple as this bunch of lavender, it can be a plant, perhaps some chocolates, a book, perhaps a DVD that you think might bless them. Really, it's just limitless what you can bring. Offer your help after you've arrived. Take an interest in your host family. Talk to the children. See if there's a practical way that you can assist. I know Peter tells the story of having been guests in people's homes in Swaziland, and the then 8-year-old son is now a supporter of ours. So, you know, the relationships that you form, even with children in that home, because you took an interest. I know in my family, often, when my parents had guests, because they had guests so often, we as children ran the risk of feeling neglected. You know, there's people again and around our dinner table, and again I won't be able to have a conversation with my parents. But everything was made better when the guests were interested in us as children as well. and it made you not sort of resent your parents for ever having people in your home. Yes, and be positive. This is not the time for you to express your frustrations in your church or your frustrations with the mission that you're involved in, but to be positive and as a guest to bless your host by being positive. Help with cleanup, any other practical chores. If you're staying in someone's home because you're waiting for a visa to come through, you're waiting for some travel documents to come through, there's some permit you need or one of the 150,000 stamps that you need for this, that, and the next thing, and you're waiting in someone's home in Pretoria, Johannesburg, or wherever, see what needs to be done. Maybe you're a handyman. Maybe the car needs fixing. Maybe the lawn needs mowing. Maybe you can see that the windows need cleaning or something needs fixing. So use your talent in the home of your guest and minister to them because they're looking after you. And also, don't hog the bathroom. If you're in a home where there's quite a lot of children, maybe there's only one bathroom. Don't go in there and have a 2-hour soak in the tub, you know, because that's not thoughtful to your host family. Right, make sure you leave a thank you note. If you've had a guest room and a bed, strip the sheets, tidy the room, leave the sheets in the linen basket if you know where that is. Leave a thank you note. They want to remember you as having been a blessing, not a burden. And travel with stationery, travel with postcards. I know that things these days are done with email and so forth, but there's still something very special about receiving a postcard or a letter in the mail. So don't neglect sending thank you notes to people that you've stayed with. You can SMS, you can text, obviously, but try and do both if you can. And if you are going to be full-time in the field, you will need to start cultivating a mailing list. So get people's emails. Let's say you stayed in someone's home. Ask them if they would like to hear from you again. And maybe they'd like to hear how your ministry has developed. Keep in touch with them, and that's how you build your email list and your mailing list. And, you know, you can pop them a quick email saying, you know, thinking of this, or how does it ever go with your son's project, or, and that shows them that you remember them as a host family as well. And remember that these friendships that you develop, like Peter with this family in Swaziland, they will turn into lifelong friendships, and they can have an absolutely lasting effect on your ministry. Peter's got some very funny stories to tell about some... Peter, would you mind telling one or two of the stories when you were a host in a home in the U.S.?
Well, I think Bill Batman's got the all-time best. Bill Batman was on an evangelistic rally crusade for over a week in Wales with a coal mining family, and they put him as the guest evangelist in their son's bedroom, where they had two sons who worked different shifts on the coal mine, so the bed never got cold. They each had an 8-hour shift that they could have the bed for, so Bill Batman had the midnight to 8 shift, I guess. And he said that he'd wake up in the morning and he'd see this chap standing with his helmet in his hand while he's come to the bed and have a vacate, and they'd get straight in without showering. And the ash, the soot was just all over, the grease was thick on the pillow, and so then he was literally just sharing the rotation, sure. But he said the bed never got cold. Well, I was hosted once in Omaha, Nebraska, in a double-story house where they put me on a couch down below. Now, there was only one air conditioner, just right over the couch. And so the doors had to stay open because the people upstairs needed the air conditioning too, just in the middle of summer. So I'm on this couch, but the couch is this high armrest shelf, couch. So,
and it's just a two-seater.
I could not lie straight on it because the sides were too high and just too narrow. So the only way to lie was lying facing outwards with my knees bent, because if I went the other way, I'd fall out. There wasn't nothing. So with my knees sticking out and lying on one side only, and they had a couple of dogs in the house on the mat, and every now and then they'd stick his nose in my face and I'd wake up with his wet nose. And there was a grandfather clock that every 15 minutes had an hour of time. And every hour to have like full on. But not the old stately grandfather clock, the modernized ones. Highly irritating. somewhere on our website how to stop the clock. But in the morning, and I was there actually for 3 nights. Each morning I'd wake up to the girls standing there, little girls giggling and watching me and following me around while I was trying to change and get ready for the day. You find this just so delightful, a strange person in the house. Anyway, I didn't get much sleep there, I must say, it wasn't good in the back. But we've had some pretty exotic, interesting experiences on the island.
Being a good guest, being a good host, there's just a multiple things, a few things to think of. Obviously, those were very, very sweet people. We've known them for a very long time. But they clearly did not understand that if you travel from afar and you're speaking and, you know, that you need a good night's sleep, ideally. So they either should have put him up somewhere else or in another room, or some other family should have been the host. This is the thing about hosting. When you're hosting a visiting missionary, you don't necessarily have to do it all. You can just have them for the meal, and they could sleep somewhere else. That way, two families are sharing the load. What's also quite exhausting is if you have several volunteers in the church, yeah, we want to host. So then the person in charge is, okay, you host on Monday, you host on Tuesday, you host on... So the poor missionary now is packing his bags every single day and unpacking them every single day. That's also quite exhausting. So it's actually best, especially if you're traveling with children. That's quite miserable. It's nice if you can stay at one place and then perhaps the meals can be shared out. So be sensitive to where your guests have come from. And don't be afraid to say, is there any way we can stay at one place and it's really an issue. And to be sensitive to the fact that the foods that are going to be eaten aren't necessarily going to be your cup of tea. But you will be encouraged to try it and to try and keep it down if it's definitely not something you're used to. But most importantly, I think for us to remember is that we are creative human beings. And as I keep saying, whether we're in a res, whether we're in a stately home, whether we're in a small little pandoki with one extra room, doesn't matter. We are, I think, called to live artistically, aesthetically, and creatively. Because if we're representing the Creator who is there, whom we acknowledge to be there, then it's very important that we bear in mind that we're representing Christ as a guest or as a host. All men are created in the image of God, but Christians are supposed to be conscious of that fact. So it's got to be a step above. And if you're conscious of it, then you should recognize the importance of living artistically and aesthetically and creatively, because we are creative creatures of the Creator. So we have so much around us. It doesn't need to be expensive, but it should be artistically. It should be artistically done. So whether you're married and have a family, whether you share a flat or a house with a number of people, whether you still live at home with your parents, whether you're a man or a woman, the fact that you're a Christian should show in some practical area of a growing creativity and sensitivity to beauty, rather than a gradual dying up of creativity and a blindness to ugliness.